There's a report today about the number of dead Ukrainian troops since the war began, 80,000, number wounded, 400,000, and there are various estimates of Russian casualties, some putting the number of dead as high as nearly 200,000 and wounded at around 400,000. Whatever number you believe and whichever number is accurate, it's a staggering toll, and these two countries struggling with shrinking pre-war populations will pay for it far into the future. Joseph Lindsley in Odessa today. Joseph, it's very sobering to read those numbers, isn't it?
Indeed, and good afternoon from Odessa. Bob, you know, there's one reason why I very rarely do I ever quote numbers, because I know that, you know, in war, the information front is a part of working to win. And we can't, you know, we're not going to know the full scale, the actual numbers from either Russia or Ukraine. You know, Ukrainians, I mean, for example, you know, there have been moments when Russians have hit something in Ukraine that was really bad. But the Ukrainians, you know, you have to protect that information. And so we're not going to know the full scale of the loss. But you feel that when you're, for example, like in Lviv, and you see the daily funerals of the soldiers. And another way you see it is with the all those who've lost the soldiers who've lost legs and arms. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a common sight around Ukraine, and that is at least 100,000. 100,000 soldiers and civilians, including little children, who've lost limbs. And on the score, I was just reading a very haunting essay on a Substack newsletter from a Ukrainian writer, Zarina Zabriskie. And she is in the city of Kherson. And Kherson is right at the front line. It's on the Dnipro River. It was occupied by Russians in 2022, but it was eventually liberated. But it comes under artillery fire every day. And there's no notification because they're so close to the Russians. And still, there are people living there and a few brave souls volunteering. And but Zarina points out that the press, you know, kind of forgets about these places. And so she, as a Ukrainian journalist, is there to share stories. And she's describing what happens with the drones that are attacking civilians in the city. She says that, you know, that's scarier than the artillery fire. She writes, old-fashioned weapons are blind and impersonal. They kill all and everyone indiscriminately. But killer drones see you. They chase you. They hunt you down. They want to kill you. On the other bank of the river, a Russian drone operator sees you in his goggles. You are a tiny figure on his screen. He sees you hide under that chestnut tree. He sees you squeeze into that half-ruined wall. He stares back at you. He pushes the button. When he kills, he sees arms flailing in the middle of a light gray puff. I know this because many drone operators share the videos of their kills on Russian social media. We are their trophies. That's a daily reality for everyone in that city of Kherson.
Joseph, you angered at least one listener yesterday, and I'm going to read a bit of this email to you. I was completely disgusted by Joseph's comments. I hope other listeners were as turned off as I was. He said, Washington does not want Ukraine to win. What? Wow. Bob, I can't believe you did not challenge him on this. Did he just crawl out from under a rock? I know he's trying to support Ukraine, and the situation is sad, but it should not be at the expense of slamming the U.S. These are tough decisions the U.S. had to make as a leader. Care to respond to that, Joseph?
Yeah, well, always good to have give and take, and that's democracy and freedom, and holding reporters accountable. Firstly, when I reported that yesterday, I was reporting the mood of many people here in Ukraine, and that's a fact. You know, what people think and feel is a fact, and it's important to report that. And it is indeed becoming more and more clear to people that there is not the will in Washington for Ukraine to win. This is apparent not only in Ukraine, but also, I think, in the United Kingdom. We saw the British Prime Minister went, you know, to Washington last week to meet with President Biden. And it was all this hope that Washington would give permission for Ukraine to use British missiles to hit Russian military bases. And that support is not there. And so if you look at that is a widespread sad realization here throughout Ukraine that Washington does not want Ukraine to win. And that's a fact for me to report. That's what people feel and believe. Whether or not it's true is up to everyone else to decide. But on this, you know, the key question, that first question from the listener, What if Russia, sort of rained hell upon Ukraine and as retaliation for missiles launched inside Russia? And this is where we've seen every time Putin's laid out all these red lines, and every time they've been crossed, we don't see hellfire from Russia. We actually see a period of Russian weakness, just as we've seen when Ukrainians hit the headquarters of Russia's, they hit the headquarters building of Russia's Black Sea Navy, like the Pentagon of the Russian Black Sea Fleet. And that was a big red line, and Russia did not have a major response. Russia had to instead spend its resources to move the Navy to a port on the Russian mainland. And in fact, in the past week, when there, it seemed that everyone was saying that Ukraine was going to get permission to use the Storm Shadows to hit Russian targets, Russia seems now, we have satellite images to show this, used this time to hide their Navy. They've moved the ships from the port in Novorossiysk on the Russian mainland to other places. And so this, when Washington said, we're going to help you, it gave Russia time to adapt. And then Washington says, oh, we're not going to help you. So they've really have put they've given Russia a sort of a benefit there. But I think that is really the fundamental question is, how do you, if someone threatens you with nuclear threats, does that mean they automatically win? Or can you strategically work to make them weaker? And over these 2.5 years, those who support Ukraine would say, well, we have lots of evidence that Ukrainians have weakened Russia. Russia wanted to take Kyiv and Odessa, and these cities are free, because of the support from the West and because of the courage of the Ukrainian people. And so I think that is the heart of the question. And then the listener also mentioned, all the billions of support from the U.S. And I think this is where it's important from an American standpoint to really analyze this, because the opposition to Ukraine and to the White House in the U.S. claim that there's all these billions of dollars flowing to Ukraine. And most of that is valuation of old weapons. A lot of it is to buy new weapons for America, which is another point the listener raised. Like we're actually using Ukraine to improve our weapons, to buy better weapons, which we were going to do anyway. But now we have the Pentagon, it's easier for them to spend the money to make better weapons. And we're giving Ukraine our old weapons. And we're also learning a lot from how Ukrainians use our old weapons and how Ukrainians adapt, make drones. And so we're actually benefiting in many ways. So there's a lot more. Maybe we can address the rest of these points tomorrow. I'm happy to go through it all. But the first thing is that certainly is the mood here. People feeling that Washington, despite its promises to Ukraine in 1994 and many times since, Washington took away Ukraine's best weapons, both Democrats and Republicans, since the fall of the Soviet Union. And they promised to protect this country. And now it seems that they are actually enabling Russia to attack Ukraine by not letting Ukrainians hit the missile and drone launch points that terrorize this country every day.
Yeah, there were other points raised in that email. I just read a couple of them, and your response is a good one to that first question about the feelings there. As the psychiatrists say, Joe, you don't challenge somebody's feelings, and that's what you were talking about yesterday. More tomorrow. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.